wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as expected, Kyler Murray, Oklahoma quarterback, has submitted his name into the NFL draft, and we're about ready to get a bidding war by Major League Baseball. There's an interesting column today at The Ringer that talks about how this is an embarrassment not only to the A's but to Major League Baseball. And the overall point of the article, which I found interesting, was that if the A's had selected anybody else with the ninth overall pick, anybody else, a player from Evansville, Indiana, wherever, and that guy played in the minors and did not make the major league roster, nobody would bat an eye. Nobody would care. Nobody would worry about the A's future and Major League Baseball and what kind of impact. But because they took this high-profile athlete and allowed him to play at Oklahoma, gave him, you know, hey, you want to play at Oklahoma? Great. We still obtain your rights. Go enjoy yourself. Play college football, but then expect you to report to spring training in February. It opened up a whole bunch of conversation about which is the best path for a young athlete to take if he's got both options. Now, Major League Baseball has the longevity and safe option, right? If you can make it with us, you can make a lot of money over time. Over time, you can start making some big money in your mid-20s, and you can sign into your 30s. And maybe if you're good enough, somebody might give you a few years on a guaranteed contract that's a little beyond your productive value, but nevertheless, because they want to get you in at another, you know, time. They're just bonusing you out. But nevertheless, you can make money into your, like, maybe 40 if you play Major League Baseball. Whereas the NFL, given his size, which tends to skew down and not up when people talk about it, you could have a career that's very short and you won't be able to cash out on future deals. But the NFL has the immediacy of financial gain. You're not going to be flowing around the minors at minimum wage, staying in crappy hotels, eating crappy food, and worrying about trying to hit that curveball so you can move up the minor league baseball ladder. The Oakland A's got a rule waived so they could offer Kyler Murray a major league contract, thus putting him on a major league roster immediately. This is how the Murray camp wants to play this. If they're looking for finances, they're going to start getting a bunch of offers from the A's that they'll manipulate to try to get him to play baseball. But what Kyler Murray should do first is play for love.
If you don't know what to get your significant other for that special occasion, then head over to GiftingMap.com. The team at GiftingMap has curated an amazing collection of great gifts for that special guy or girl in your life. Visit GiftingMap.com today. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So what should Kyler Murray do? 800-777-2907 if you want to weigh in on that. If Kyler Murray, his heart is set on football, I think it's go right to the NFL. But if he just is interested in money, this makes this decision a lot less interesting to me. For me, look, I want a kid his age to pursue what he loves to do, not to do it just for the cash. I mean, if you don't really like baseball over football, don't take baseball just because it pays more. If you want to play, you're going to get paid either way. If you want to play football because you love football and because the Oklahoma experience of winning the Heisman, carving up Big 12 defenses, playing with a shot for a national title in the playoff against Alabama in the semifinals, if those things were appealing to you, and here's the other end. If you're looking at the league now and you're seeing, hey, look, Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, like I can do this. Like, I look at them and I can do what they're doing and I can have a city behind me like that. That's what I want. Then play football. To play football. But if you're looking to just get the A's to put you on a major league roster so you can make more money and not have to go to the minors and not have to, again, like I said, basically eat crappy food, live out of a motel and make minimum wage, you know, hey, then, you know, go there. If you go to the A's if you want to play baseball, if you love baseball so much. But here's my problem with Kyler Murray from a standpoint. I'm nervous about his size. This is a league that will crush you if you're not a big guy. He's going to be the shortest quarterback since Doug Flutie to enter the draft. But here's the thing. If you notice with Kyler Murray, he's listed as 5'10". Now, what happens a lot of times is when there's a quarterback that's kind of tinkering around 6 feet, right? Drew Brees or like a Russell Wilson or something like that, is that the pundits will like to skew up a little bit. Like if they really like him, they'll skew his size up a little bit. So if a guy's like legitimately 5'11 and they say he's 6 foot, a pundit might say he's 6'1, right? Giving him like an extra 2 inches of nothing just because. And they tend to do that if they like you. But if they're nervous about you, like with what's going on with Kyler Murray, they tend to go down. I noticed during the college football playoffs, every time in the semifinals, every time they talked about Murray's size, they talked about it being below the 5'10 mark, right? Oh, he's listed at 5'10, but he's not 5'10. He's more like 5'9. He's like more 5'8, right? That's dangerous to me. That's scary to me. Now at the combine, he's going to be officially measured, right? They don't just take what the SIDs at Oklahoma are putting down, but that is a concern. But his athleticism, they've got him going in the first round. They've got guys like Cliff Kingsbury talking about, I would draft Kyler Murray with the number one overall pick, which he has. And I know he has Josh Rosen, but he has. Listen, it's too big of let's go back to the money thing, because I really do want Kyler Murray to make the decision based off love of sport. But the money thing, if he's going to be a first round pick and he's going to a team that is going to use him and right away, right, you're going to be the face of the franchise, then go to the NFL, because you can't buy a better track to success than being a first round pick and getting in and using your talent in that way. You know, right? If you're later and you're behind a guy and you're kind of like Lamar Jackson, right? Behind Joe Flacco. If Flacco was successful, Lamar Jackson would still be on the bench. Flacco wasn't, got hurt, you know, then didn't really come back. Lamar Jackson gets takeover. It's now his team. If you are legitimately going to take over an NFL franchise, be the first round pick. Be a first round pick in the NFL, right? Don't let the A's play this bidding war with you. Be a first round pick in the NFL. This is where America's love affair with sport is, right? It's the National Football League, and you won't be a fifth round pick, third string guy, right? Waiting to get an opportunity, waiting to get a chance. If you're a number one pick, go be that number one pick and use your football talent. It is clear Kyler Murray loves football. It's clear. He loves both, but he loves football. Because if he was really set on baseball, he would have ended this and said at the end of the game, thank you very much. I appreciate my time at Oklahoma. I had a great time. It's too bad we didn't win a national championship, but next month I'm off to spring training. But now he's entering the draft. If it is a bidding war against the A's, I feel cheated a little bit. I want this kid to be passionate about what he wants. Passionate about what he wants to do. Look, there's nothing wrong with trying to get more money out of your employer, okay? We all do it. But I don't know. It just feels, the decision feels a little tainted if it's just, I want to play baseball, but man, if I could get a major league deal by teasing them with the idea of going to the National Football League, which I really don't want to do, but if I tease that and I'll put my name in the draft and I'll pretend I really love football just to get on the 40-man roster and get more money out of them, I don't like that. I want this kid to be really torn between these two sports that he loves and make a decision based on passion. Because he's young, man. He's going to make a lot of money. He's going to make a lot of money either way. If he's as good at baseball as they say he is, he'll eventually make it to the majors and make money. So I just want the kid to follow his heart, right? I want the kid to follow his heart. His agents, all the people around him will try to get the most money out of him, but I want the decision to be based on what he really, really wants to do with his life, because it is his life, right? And look, I wouldn't want, if I had a chance to be a first-round pick of the National Football League or tool around in the minors of baseball, I would go to the National Football League. Yeah, tooling around in the minors stinks, all right? Let's be honest. I mean, it's great that you get to play baseball for a living, but it's not a glamorous life. I mean, somebody pointed out, which I thought was smart, the living conditions in the minors are going to be worse than what he had at Oklahoma. I mean, at Oklahoma, I mean, my God.
No, I was thinking the exact same thing. I mean, at Oklahoma, you know, even just traveling. You know, just the way they travel. I mean, Oklahoma had a much better situation than any minor league you could hope for.
Yeah, he's tooling around in Rancho Cucamonga or wherever the A's have their facility. then who wants to do that? Who wants to do that for 2 or 3 years?
Basically, be on an upgraded school bus.
Yeah, who wants to do that? Yeah, I knew. I had friends of mine who worked in minor league baseball earlier in their career, and they used to talk about those road trips. Man, it was nasty. Those long trips, driving around in the heat. Sometimes the air conditioning breaks down on the bus. You're dying, stopping in these middle of nowhere towns. All right, great. It's a good life to build up a baseball career you're passionate about. But when can you imagine if you had the potential to be a first round pick in the NFL? Every second that you're in the minors, if that's how it ended up, like, you know, look, the A's are trying to put him on the fit 40-man roster. But if you had to go to the minors and you're every day that you're like getting your, poor check for all the work you're putting in, you're like, all right, I got a $4 million signing bonus, but I'm only making like $20,000 playing minor league baseball. And all you keep thinking about is, man, I could have been a number one pick. I could have been a first round pick for an NFL franchise and been getting ready to be the starting quarterback in that city. That would blow my mind. I'd have a hard time separating the two lives. Look, I get his team would love for the A's to put him on the 40-man roster. I totally get it. But at the same time, go with your heart, Kyler Murray. Go with your heart. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number if you want to join us on the program. Also, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's, by the way. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the AFC and NFC championships and why this could be a historic weekend. We'll tackle that next on SB Nation Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels on Automotive Tip, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. You know, folks, forecasters say that we're in for a cold, wet winter and spring. Cars and trucks don't do well in extreme cold, so you really need to make sure yours is ready. First, have your shop check the cooling system and do a flush if it needs it. Have them take a close look at the belts and hoses. Now, if they're over 6 years old, they really should be replaced. If either fail, you're on the side of the road, and it could also kill your engine. With this rainy weather, you need to replace your wiper blades while you're thinking about it. You know, it's cheap insurance on a rainy night. And don't forget the battery. Batteries aren't lasting near as long as they should. They're fine one day, and they're dead the next. If yours is over 3 years old, you're lucky. I'd have it checked and replaced before it fails. You know, mine failed after 2 years, and it really ruined my day. Hopefully, these tips will save you time and money, folks. This is Mike Herzing with Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com and also look for Let's Talk Wheels on Facebook.
Choose a new path this year at the Jeep Start Something New event, where you'll find great deals are just the beginning of the great adventures. I was made for this. Make a grand entrance in the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, because a brand new year means you deserve a stylish new look. And nothing looks better than confidence, which you'll find plenty of in a Jeep Compass. With over 70 standard and available safety and security features, if it's a new peak you're looking to conquer, find the SUV recognized for reaching the top in the Jeep Wrangler, awarded the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Or, if all you need is a getaway, start your road trip in a Jeep Cherokee with up to 31 mpg highway. But no matter where the new year leads you, start it with a great deal at the Jeep Start Something New event. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
To SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, when it gets cold out there, your vehicle needs some extra attention. O'Reilly Auto Parts has everything you need to keep your vehicle toasty warm. From choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades, O'Reilly will get your vehicle in fighting shape for the cold weather ahead. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Speaking of cold, an Arctic front is about ready to hit Arrowhead Stadium this weekend. An Arctic front. That sounds scary, doesn't it?
Yes.
Doesn't it sound like it, like... Sounds come like, freeze people like it's statues.
Sounds like Day After Tomorrow.
Right, where everything freezes. And
Instantly,
right? Don't go out there. So an Arctic front is coming in, and they say the temperature could be well below zero for game time at Arrowhead Stadium. for the Chiefs-Patriots clash.
Just how football is meant to be played.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Think about this weekend. This might be one of the best conference championship days that we've had in a long time, given we've had, you know, we went chalk, but we have some of the highest scoring NFL teams in history. We have some defenses that aren't as good, but we have great storylines. When you think about, like, the Patriots, for example, let's take the Patriots going to their eighth straight AFC title game. The dynasty continues, a year where they weren't super impressive, but yet turn it on in the postseason. And then there's the Chiefs, the upstart Chiefs, 50 touchdown passes, Patrick Mahomes, America falling in love with Kansas City and Andy Reid as they are a win away from going to the Super Bowl for the first time since, I don't know, 70, 71 when they won Super Bowl IV. Right. And then there's the Saints, right? Great party town, great city. They won the Super Bowl 10 years ago when the city was desperately needing some sort of, you know, just recovering from Katrina, right? Years after recovering from Katrina, they're rebuilding the city. You ever seen When the Levee Breaks, that mm-hmm. documentary HBO did? Holy cow. That was so eye opening to me. Like, I didn't realize some of the extra damage that caused, other stuff that happened. It wasn't just houses. It was the whole infrastructure of the city. And you know, it gets infested with bugs, and there's mosquito problems, and there's, you know, 100 other things that come with flooding.
It was all the stuff that happened like months later.
Months later, exactly, right? People were like going back to nothing. That's what was scary. That's right. So here's a city that's still years, you know, into rebuilding. The Katrina happened in 2005. It's 2010. The Super Bowl. So it's 5 years later, and it's still rebuilding. And the Saints win a Super Bowl. All right, and here they are, 10 years later, 9 years later, and they could go to another Super Bowl again. And then there are the Rams and Sean McVay, the hottest coaching prospect, the hottest coaching name, could be on the biggest stage in the NFL. Right,
but 2 years in, and he's already got a tree.
2 years in, he's already got a tree, and the city of Los Angeles, which for 20 years we were told didn't care about football, now would have a Super Bowl champion.
Well, now
so
we'll
there's
see.
100 things.
Now
right?
We'll see if they care about football.
Yeah, now we'll see. Now we'll see is right, right? So there you go, right? There's all these great storylines from these four teams that are coming in, and there's no boring team, right? There's no team that's like, oh, they're just methodical. They just run the ball. They got boring team.
If we're gonna pick out of the four, which one's the boring team? I'm gonna say it's the Patriots.
It's probably the Patriots, only because of a familiarization.
Yeah.
With what we've
seen
it,
we've seen this story played out how many times now? I mean, it just seems like every single year.
It's crazy. So, I mean, we're in for a very good weekend. And I love Conference Championship Sunday. I know I've told the story when I was in college. I ate a whole thing of double-stuffed Oreos for one conference champ. It was the year Buffalo – I forget who Buffalo played, but I know the Cowboys played the Niners. So it was like 90s, early 90s. And I remember we bought a whole bunch of snacks in my apartment. And I had bought double stuffed Oreo cookies, and I ate some to start the day, and I kept eating them throughout the day. And then my roommates were like, you know what? You should finish that. And I said, I should finish that. And I ate them all. I ate them all in one sitting. I don't even want to know the caloric intake of that Super Bowl championship. And I was a thinner guy back then, too. So I thought I could burn everything off quickly. Maybe that was the beginning of my health and demise. Eating whole thing of double. I thought I was going to go blind eating all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some people do that with alcohol. But
right.
Chose the cookie route. It's all right.
I know.
It's all the same.
I remember my roommate in college, he brewed his own beer. Remember when brewing beer was really popular? He brewed his own beer, and we drank it for the championship game. We had a bunch of people over, and we drank his beer, and it was good. But I remember, like, wondering if it was safe. Like, I wasn't sure if we were drinking. Like, he was brewing it in the kitchen.
Did the yeast settle right?
Yeah, I know, right? I kept thinking, there's so many variables to this home brew that could have gone wrong that we wouldn't notice until a few days later.
Do you really trust him?
Right. But it was good beer, man. He did a good job. He was into it. He was studying it. He did a good job. He bottles and he what do you call them?
Growlers?
He sterilized the bottles really well. Okay, he sterilized the bottles really well. He got a bottle capper, so he capped them all up. I mean, it was good stuff. But championship football weekend was always my favorite. It was even more than Super Bowls because I like football and I got 8 hours of it. You know, pretty much
that's the best part. And then,
right?
And the way they time the games.
Oh, yeah.
Which, to the life of me, I don't understand why they don't do that for the rest of the playoffs.
Oh, I know, right?
You know, I mean, they do on Saturday. Saturday we get the late game, night. And then we get a night game. Sunday, why are we starting Sunday? Why are we keeping it tradition? I mean, it's not a normal football weekend. We don't have 8-10 games going on. We only have two.
Yeah,
it's like start them later. Keep them all towards the evening. It makes life so much easier.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I love the nights when it's nights closing down and you're in the last championship game.
Yeah, especially for the Chiefs Patriots because they're the late one.
Yeah.
I mean, we're to have game time temperatures like somewhere in the single digits.
I mean, it's going to be
fun.
It's going to be great.
I'm glad I'll be sitting inside somewhere nice and toasty warm.
Me too. It's cold weather, man. It's brutal. I don't know like how kickers do it. Like kicking a football in warm weather, I still think is difficult. Like when when it's a rock, when it is a frozen rock, I don't know how these guys do it.
I can tell you from personal experience, it's miserable.
I can imagine.
It's not so much the kicking part because you kind of get hyped up. I mean, when you kick the ball, you know, it stings, but you know, you do what you have to do. The worst part is that you're standing on the sideline doing nothing.
Right. That's right.
That's the worst part is that you're just standing around. I mean, I grew up in Southern California, so it doesn't get cold too often. But there was one game where I think the temperatures dropped. It was like in the high 30s. It was in the 40s, but there was wind. So it kind of felt like it was the high 30s. I was doing jumping jacks. I was jumping around, and I could not get myself warm. I was the only one. I had a long sleeve shirt on. I had a jacket on over my pads, and I was still freezing because I was the only one not playing. Besides the guys who never play,
it's weird. It's a weird weather situation because in high school you don't play in freezing, frigid winter temperatures. You know, your season usually ends late October, maybe early November. And I know some places gets cold, but I'm talking like -50.
No,
you don't get those. Ooh. So you don't get that in college. I mean, in high school, you don't get that in college, right? Because even if you play a bowl game, let's say at Yankee Stadium, okay, maybe you'll get that.
It'd be a weird day, right?
So you get into the NFL, and let's say you're a kid from Texas, and you get into the NFL, and all of a sudden, you've never played in -15 degrees. I mean, this is a game changer. I mean, that ball is different. It feels different in your hands. The guys who are catching it feels different in their hands. I mean, you gotta work to get that kind of level of confidence when it's cold. Like you say, when you kick a ball, right, you know it's going to sting. So you gotta do what you gotta do. Hey man, I gotta be honest with you. That takes fortitude, man, because if you tense up just a split second kicking that ball, you're going to miss kicks. You're going to badly miss kicks. If you just go, oh,
at least you got protective wear on. I don't understand how these wide receivers catch the ball.
No, I don't either. That thing is coming at
some
you.
Some of them prefer to go bare hands. They can't wear gloves.
And, oh
God, that's just
get it.
I couldn't do it. Every time the ball came to me, I just smack it down like it hurts.
Yeah, I know. I talked about the 82 AFC Championship game when it was the wind chill. The wind chill made it feel like it was -50 in Cincinnati with the Chargers, and Dan Fouts didn't wear any gloves. Dan Fouts wouldn't wear gloves. And Kenny Anderson did. It was freezing. I mean, freezing is an understatement. I've been in freezing temperatures in growing up in New Hampshire. I've never been in -59 with the wind chill. I've never been in that kind of weather. In fact, I went to Sioux City, Iowa once, I had never been to the Minnesota, Iowa, the middle of the country. I had never been there before. I grew up in New England. It's cold in New England. We get these storms. But I was never more cold than when I went to Minnesota. It was a different kind of cold. It was like a bone chilling kind of cold. And again, I was from New England. I wasn't from Florida or anything like that. So it's to hear this report of this Arctic blast that's going to hit Kansas City. Listen, I believe in Patrick Mahomes. The stage is not too big for him. He will be ready. But this suits the Patriots because they have done this before. Brady especially has done this plenty of times.
They've played in every type of
weather. Everything.
It doesn't matter what kind of weather it is, they've been in it.
Yep, and succeeded in it. So,
and all it really takes is just need Brady. I mean, the rest of the team, maybe they haven't played in it, but Brady has, and he knows how to handle it.
Yeah, so we shall see on Sunday what that Arctic cold will do for the Chiefs and Patriots. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
Every every day can't be hat day.
Take off your hat.
Stop worrying about your hairline today by visiting forhims.com/cheer. That's forhims.com/cheer.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, I want to recommend a really good read. SI.com has got a feature story on Todd Marinovich, who's turning 50 years old. For those of you who remember the late 80s, when Todd Marinovich was a high school recruit out of California, and he chose to go to USC, he was the Robo QB. I remember being a kid reading this story about the quarterback that never ate an Oreo cookie, and I just commented how I devoured a whole box in one sitting. He never had an Oreo cookie or a Big Mac or ice cream. His father Marv Marinovich was grooming him to be a quarterback. And back in 1988, when his feature story as a high school quarterback was written, boy, it seemed like this was what he wanted to do, and his dad was helping him pursue his dream, and he wanted to be the greatest quarterback of all time. And, you know, it may have seemed extreme, but this is what, you know, both Marinoviches wanted out of their lives. And, you know, he was going to training, and he, you know, all of this stuff to make him the greatest quarterback that was ever going to play the position. And if you know his story, he ended up being kind of a bust. He was a drug user, and he got played for the Raiders for a couple of years, and he got hooked on heroin, and he went to rehab a number of times. And I don't want to say he tossed his life away, because you can always redeem your life and you can always come back from any adversity, but he certainly tossed his professional football career away. And what we learn now, like in this story, and again, I kind of followed it because, again, I remember reading about him, and I remember watching him at USC and watching him with the Raiders and kind of wondering where are they now kind of story. And then I saw the documentary on the 30 for 30 on the Marinovich project, and it seemed like him and his dad had patched things up, and they were both kind of on the same page with it growing up. But I found out in this SI article that it was all a lie, that basically Todd did have Oreo cookies and did have Big Macs, and he got this stuff from people outside of Marv's influence that wanted to secretly help him be a kid, and that's what he really wanted. But he would lie to his dad and tell him, no, I've never had sugar in my life. Verbally and physically abusive to him as he was growing up. He associated love from his father with his performance on the field. It messed with his head. He had problems with authority, because every authority figure that he had in his life was his dad. His dad is now suffering from Alzheimer's and doesn't remember a lot of this stuff and needs to be taken care of. Todd is still kind of bouncing around at 50 years old, trying to figure out what he wants to do. He's playing some semi-pro ball, but, you know, basically tossed his life away. It was an interesting arc, because again, we're talking about 30 years of watching this 18-year-old kid who is going to be the next USC. I mean, I think he started as a freshman at USC and just threw it all away, tossed it all away. And a lot of it is just, it's sort of that cautionary tale with parents who kind of, you know, overly get involved in their kids' athletic lives.
Helicopter parents.
Yeah, helicopter parents, exactly. It's kind of an overly cautious tale. It's a little more on the extreme side. I mean, I watched my son play youth sports, and I've seen those kind of crazy dads, and I would never accuse them of being verbally or physically abusive to their kids without evidence. I mean, if that's what Marv was apparently doing that to Todd, but you see it a lot of times.
Oh,
I mean,
you
probably see it in your kid plays baseball. I'm sure you see the overly exuberant dad
all the time. I mean, you know, even on his own team, there, you know, we have a few parents who just, I mean, you could tell that they're living vicariously through their kids. Like maybe they came close to getting their shot, but now it's like, no, I didn't get it, so you have to get it for me.
Yeah,
and you just got to take a step back. Like, I hope great things for my son, but the most that I want him to get out of it is just love the game, just have fun playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you have fun playing, you know, you take, you know, for a perfect example, Pat Mahomes. You know, you look at him, and you know his dad was a major league pitcher. You know, grinded better than anybody to get to the major league level, to get to the professional ranks in sports. And you could tell that he instilled just a passion for his son, because when you watch Patrick Mahomes play, I mean, he is having fun out there. I mean, he literally is, from time to time, it looks like he's just out there. He's just playing backyard, schoolyard football. And especially with some of the throws that he's making, some of the things that he's doing. It's almost like he's a rule breaker out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, just do what I want to do. But you can tell that he's having fun and that he's loving the game.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and a lot of people, I remember when Tiger Woods was coming up in his early 20s, and there was this, when the media got a hold of Earl, right? I mean, and was talking about Earl Woods, and there was a lot of Marv Marinovich comparisons. Marv Marinovich, by the way, for those, you know, who's, if you're not familiar with that, with who he is, there's a lot of us who are older who know. You would talk about parents as Marv Marinovich, right? Mm-hmm. Is he a Marv Marinovich, right? That's how quickly he became sort of a symbol of an overbearing parent, right? And there was a lot of conversation about Earl Woods being Marv Marinovich, but people shot that down quickly, saying, nope, Earl Woods told Tiger, you can't play golf unless you do your homework. You can't play golf unless you get certain grades in school. You had to help out the family with chores before you could go to the range, right? There was a difference, right? That he tried to give Tiger a life and also take the kid's talent and take it as high as he could go. And Tiger was always, never once did Tiger speak ill about his father and his upbringing. Always talked about.
I would say the same comparison, I think, was tried to make with Richard Williams.
Serena Venus's father,
yep. Where, you know, he was very overbearing, but it wasn't really towards his kids. It was just more towards the sport of tennis.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He battled everything. If nothing went wrong for his girls, he was like, he was front and center to be the first one to complain.
You remember Jennifer Capriati had parents that were overbearing, yep. Right? She got arrested for drug use, I think, and had problems and later
she
on.
She could have been one of the all time greats, but her career flamed. I'm curious. You know, if we're looking at it now, I'm curious if LeVar Ball is slowly slipping into that.
Maybe so.
It's kind of tough to say that he is a helicopter. I mean, he's definitely a helicopter parent, but I don't see it in a bad way, except that he might be overhyping his own kids.
There's really no handbook. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you are given, a kid, let's say whatever force of nature you believe in, you end up with a child that is gifted in an athletic endeavor, whether it's basketball, golf, tennis, whatever it is. And let's say that's not your background, right? That's not what you've done. You don't have those same experiences, but you realize, holy cow, my kid's really good at tennis. Oh my God, my kid's really good at golf or baseball or whatever it is. There's no guidebook that says as a parent, you need to do X, Y, and Z. Sometimes you don't have to do anything and they work their way through it and they're natural talent takes over and off they go. And then others, you just are like, I'm responsible for fine tuning this in some way, right? I'm supposed to put them on competitive teams, or I'm supposed to spend money on super travel teams, or I'm supposed to spend money on trainers and better coaching. There's no guidebook for this. Like, if you're given a kid that's got a gift, a serious gift, there's nobody to tell you how to raise your kid. Like, you got to figure that out on your own. You got to figure out what works and what doesn't work. You know, one of the best insights I ever had to an athlete in terms of a documentary was Christian Laettner's documentary. If you remember that, Christian Laettner went to Duke, and there was always this belief that he was this preppy kid and he grew up rich and, you know, there's a rich kid going to Duke and all. But it was the opposite. That was just, his parents were middle class. He had to work at the school that he went to, a private school that he worked to. He had to clean the floors and the mats and all that for the rich kids, serve them food to earn money to go to that school. And his parents were like, play basketball, do whatever you want. Go ahead, play, just do whatever it is you do. And he became, he had a good long NBA career, not an all-star career, but a long enough to make a lot of money playing that. And he had one of the most successful college basketball careers of any human being that ever walked the face of the earth. So there's two sides to everything, but the it's a great article. Go to SI.com and read it. If you're familiar with the Marinovich story, it's really good. It's just a fascinating insight to, if you're a parent and you've got a kid who's in sports, it's hard to juggle because you want what's best for the kid, but at the same time, you know, you don't want to burn them out. There's nothing worse than when your kid goes, I'm done with that sport. You spend a lot of money on it. When they go, they're like 13, time, they're like, oh, invested. I'm done.
Yeah.
You know. So I've heard those stories many, many times. Like I've heard my daughter's in sports and I've had guys tell me, you know, one day she's going to wake up. She's not going to play any of this. And I'm like, okay. As I'm writing yet another check for another travel soccer season. They're like, yeah, when she's like 14, she's going to forget all about it. She doesn't want to do this anymore. I'm like, all right, well, as long as she's having fun now. So on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, we're talking about Kyler Murray. If he loves them both, teasing baseball, football, choose the one that provides best chance for financial success and factor in the health component. It's his job for years to come. That's a good point, and that's not the point I was making. My point is, if he loves both, great, but what if he loves one more than the other? Choose the one you love more than the other. Don't choose the one for financial success if you don't like it enough. If you love football, but the better chance for financial success is baseball, or vice versa. At 21 years old, I would advise him to take the one he loves, not the one that's going to offer him more money. He's going to make money either way, right? Take the one you love more than the other. If you love both, it's too bad. You're going to have to pick one. Unfortunately, you're not in a position as a quarterback to do what Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders did. If you're going to be a quarterback in the NFL, it's a 24/7 job. You can't go play baseball for 6 months out of the year.
And it's a tough spot for him because, I mean, on one hand, you know, like you mentioned earlier, if he goes baseball, yeah, there's a good chance he can tool around the minor leagues for years and years and years.
Get up at 24, 25, yeah.
And if he goes football, I mean, people are, projecting him to be a first-round pick.
And that's like a ton of money right off the bat.
Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, if you're a top 10 pick, you're an instant millionaire. You've won the lottery. And there's no way. I mean, I know he entered the draft, but if he is to go through it all and go through the entire process, without a doubt in my mind, he'll be a top 10 pick.
If he's absolutely certain, if his camp is reaching out and they feel like he's going to be a top 10 pick in the draft, he's got to go to the NFL. That's immediate. If that's what he loves,
yeah,
right?
That's the thing. It comes down to what he wants to do.
Yep.
How he's feeling about it.
That overrides everything to me, right? Because I think Sports Hutch on Twitter, I think, makes a good point. It is going to be your job. And again, you don't get to choose, right? He's, again, we talked about this many times with Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders. Bo Jackson played baseball and was able to just be a running back immediately, right? As soon as baseball's over, boogie off to the Raiders and be a running back. Deion Sanders, you know, kind of the same thing. You could kind of do both with the way he played football and baseball. But as a quarterback in the NFL, they're not going to let you play baseball for 6 months out of the year. You're going to have you got to go to all the camps. You got to be a part of all the training. So if you love football, play it. If you love baseball, play it. The money will come. All of that will come if you're passionate and good at this, as people say. You're a first round pick in the major leagues. You'll be a first round pick in the NFL. Whatever you love, do. Because again, as this person on Twitter pointed out, it's going to be your job. Love your job, and don't look back. So don't look back, because it's going to be hard not to. Especially if you're tolling around. If the A's put you on the roster and you play right in the majors, great, fantastic. You don't have to tool around in the minors. But if you had to tool around in the minors when you're, you know, driving into some middle of nowhere town to play, you know, a double-A baseball game, and you're thinking, man, I could be, you know, at my first OTAs as the number one, as QB1 of this NFL football team, yeah, that's hard to take.
And in all honesty, if the A's are prepared to offer him a major league contract, then most likely he's going to be a major league player, because A's don't want to waste money. They don't want to pay big time money for a guy who's just going to tool around the minor leagues.
Yep, they're going to put you to work. So 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. You want to join us on the program? It's SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Stream the Pacquiao versus Broner pay-per-view fight live on Showtime. No cable subscription required. Order the fight now at Showtime.com/PPV and watch it live on Fight Night right on your computer or on your favorite streaming device with the Showtime app, including Apple TV, Roku, Fire TV, iPhone, Android phone, Xbox, and more. Order it on pay-per-view now for $74.99 and stream it live on Fight Night. That is coming up on Saturday, January 19th. All right, so January 19th, Pacquiao versus Broner. And again, Showtime.com/PPV to be able to get that with no cable subscription required to see the fight.
Yeah, that's coming up quick.
That is coming up quick this weekend.
Will we ever see Pacquiao Mayweather again?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Mayweather's off fighting, you know, MMA stars.
Yeah.
I was like, he's done with boxing. He's like, you know, I'm good.
When was the last one? 2015? It was like May of 2015, I think. I remember everybody was watching it, right? I mean, it was like a unifying sporting event for boxing.
I can't even remember like the last great boxing match.
Right. Like that we were all kind of like the tuning fighter. Into, paying for and buying. We did that one. I mean, everybody watched that. I remember just like every one of my friends was getting that fight. And I was like, wow, I don't think we've ever talked about all of us getting the same fight before. Except for this one. So this one, coming up on January 19th. So there you go. All right. So again, AFC, NFC championship games coming up this weekend. I don't know. I mean, this cold weather thing has me concerned for Kansas City. And I like Kansas City.
Well, we all want Kansas City outside of New England.
It's going to be freezing.
We just want new blood. That's all we're wanting.
Do we want snow? Do we want like an Arctic storm to come in or just Arctic cold? Do we want the game to be decided by wintry weather? Like, people are slipping all over the place, and the ball is just anything. Better be careful for that one turnover that's going to cost you the game.
I mean, it does make it more entertaining when they're out there having to, mow the field so we can see where the lines are.
But if we can't get the high-flying fun of Kansas City, what are we stuck with in the game? A methodical New England Patriots team? Meticulously carving up yardage? I don't know.